It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show and pdxautoclick.com is going to be here. We read the Inquirer, so you don't have to. I know I was going to get to that yesterday and the day before, but it didn't really happen. Sue me! We got the Week in Geek and the top five musical acts killed in a tragic plane crash in honor of Sarah Dillon's plane trip to Wisconsin today. It's 503-733-2970. Well, let's do this. We've got this head cheese caller. But because Rick Emerson cares and I like to spread this experience around, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent Jim.
Ow! Sorry!
So loud.
I'm sorry.
Hello, Jim Roop.
How are you, sir?
Hello?
Hello. Hey?
Hey, hi. How you doing? Yeah, Sarah Dillon is here. We are joined today by Kristen Bowie, who is filling in for Sarah X Dillon. And the levels on the various cuts in our system are... The levels, the volume levels are not, they are not the equivalent of, they're not always the same. So sometimes
well, you have to put a limiter on the inside, too, not just outgoing.
Oh, the limiter is going to be that eventually my hearing is just going to be gone. And the upper 30% of my range just won't work anymore, and then it'll all sound fine. It'll just, be sort of going to sound like a sound roof.
I am so sorry.
That's okay.
You know, it'll be something when you get older and your kids will have the TV turned up really, really loud because you and your wife are shouting at each other.
Oh, man.
Just because you can't hear.
I know that my hearing was bad kind of already, and I am that guy now. You see me at any sort of I don't go to the rock and roll shows the way I used to, but I mean I'm that guy. As soon as the band comes on stage, I'm jamming those like $50 earplugs into my ears because I'm just terrified of going deaf.
In the old disc jockey days, we used to crank our headphones up real loud.
Oh yeah,
just rock out, and then we'd go to those live remotes and those concerts and I know that my hearing's bad.
I remember going to the hearing doctor because I had this ringing that wouldn't go away when I was about 20. And I was in a band at the time, like all idiot radio guys. And the doctor was like looking in my ears, and he's giving me the test, and he's doing the whatever he does where he holds up a thing and then you raise your hand or whatever the hell the test is. And he goes, are you in a band or something? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, where do you play? And I said, in a small concrete room with the speakers as loud as they'll go and no hearing protection because that's for sissies. And he's like, and he goes, yeah, that's great. You're going to be deaf in 5 years.
Hey, you want to hear something stupid?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
I used to hear that. I lived at the beach. And every now and again, well, quite often, especially at night, I'd hear, ooh, I'm thinking a foghorn. for years, I'm hearing that. And I would shift in my bed, and the foghorn would stop, and I would think, wow, what a coincidence. And as like an idiot, for years I'm thinking that.
I have magical control over the foghorn.
Then I moved to Burbank.
Uh-huh.
There's no ocean within 30 miles. And I still hear this.
Well, what I have to look forward to.
I said, oh, great. I think my hearing is bad.
Seriously?
I said, I've been telling you that for days.
Oh, man. It has gone away a little bit since then, but I used to get the Townsend the sort of... in the back all the time.
Yeah, man.
And then I think about those idiots that I would go to shows with when I was growing up, and the guys who never. I had this friend of mine. I swear to God, this sounds like a made up story, but it's true. It was at a Motley Crue show, and their whole thing was that they were like the loudest band on earth, and at a certain point, the other thing is, I'm not a drinking kind of guy, that works out badly for me, and so I've learned, and I have to avoid that. But the thing about drinking is that drinking numbs the pain receptors in your ear, which is why drunk guys, like, nothing's ever loud enough if you're drunk, because it deadens the cilia in your ear, so the thing that normally goes like, ow, ow, too loud, like, that thing is turned off.
Wow.
And so that's why bands are always playing so loud, and that, and plus a lot of bands, it's like they think it just makes them, it's like they think it, it gives them like big brass ones if they have it really loud. Like that's how they, like if they can't hear the music, let them feel the music. And so they'll turn away. My friend Eric, and it hurts even to tell this story, was in a Motley Crue show, and they had those huge, those speakers that look like gigantic horns.
Yeah.
And it was one, and I swear to God, the opening on this thing was like four feet high. He's drunk, he's stoned, he's on acid, he's just nine different kinds of high. And we're like, and it was general admission, so he's fighting his way all the way down to the front row. And I swear to God, it's going to make everybody cringe just to tell this story. he actually, like, crawled sort of inside one of those things, like, stuck his head into the opening in one of those speakers, one of those big horn speakers at a Motley Crue concert.
Ugh.
I cannot even imagine how loud it was with his head inside of that.
Did his brain bleed?
I don't know. He was never really bright to begin with. But he did seem a little stupider from that day forward, so I think it may have actually rattled his cortex loose or something.
Well, there you go, and you wonder why people get hit by trains on walking down railroad tracks, because they can't hear. They've been to too many Motley Crue concerts sticking their heads and horns.
You kids with your damn rock and roll!
What's the matter with you?
Seriously. No, so I've already told Laura, I'm like, you know...
Turn that down, damn you.
I told my wife, I'm like, you know, when I get to be 60, I'm not going to be able to hear anything. So, I mean, just so you know.
Yell at me now.
Yeah. Seriously. Because when I'm old, I'll just, I won't even know.
Just smile and wave.
Take out the trash! And I'll
that's
just be
right,
smiling, and yes, that's right, dear.
Yeah.
I love you, too.
I'll just shuffle off, pee in my pants, and you take out the trash.
Good times. I hope that you and I, when we become older, I hope that we end up, like, in the same retirement center, or at least on the same block. Because we're going to have a lot of fun waving sticks at people and shouting profanities at the youth.
Sick, man.
Off my lawn!
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, it's going
to
be great.
That's a privilege that we earn as we age.
That's what I'm saying. It's just that, you know, because old guys, they can just do it with carte blanche, man. It doesn't matter. They can old
open women, we get to do that, too.
Man, my wife is a nurse, and she deals with, it's like dementia people and Alzheimer's people. And it's like those guys, it's like they're saying the most vile things. They're copping a feel. They're, you know... I swear to God, there's...
And isn't little Mr. Emerson cute? Yes.
Yeah, seriously, and it's all, you know, look, nurse, I have this brain tumor, and the only way it can be cured is to have sex with you. It doesn't matter. You can say the most vile things, and they write it off, because it's like, there's Mr.
Oh, you silly.
Yeah, so, yeah, kids come on your lawn, you can beat them with a rake. Doesn't even matter. Good God. Hey, you got up at 3 o'clock this morning, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to be, that's why everything's hilarious, because you're all loopy. And so you were at the AMAs. Was it just as tedious as you thought?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It was. All it is a musical variety show designed to sell product before the holidays, peppered with a few awards. You know, that's what gets some people there. But half the winners weren't even there.
Yeah, well, because why? I mean, why?
Well, it was dumb. First of all, you schedule an award show 2 days before Thanksgiving. Most guys out on tour are winding the tours down.
Yep.
Other ones are gearing up their holiday tours. Black Eyed Peas were out. Red Hot Chili Peppers were gone. Who knows where Faith Hill and Tim McGraw and the other country guys. There's only two country artists there.
The best part is that Faith Hill actually won last night,
yeah.
Right?
She was so guarded about her reaction that she just didn't show.
Go figure. Hey, but let me ask, here's the only thing I really care about is, A, did you see Carrie Underwood up close? And B,
yes,
is she hot up close, Carrie Underwood?
Yeah.
I mean, because sometimes there's, like, real pretty and then there's sort of fake,
well,
like...
Well, she's cute, beautiful. You know, she's not gorgeous like drop-dead, you know, Playboy gorgeous, but well, she's cute gorgeous.
She's like Kate Hudson, Penny Lane gorgeous.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then Britney Spears, you see her up close?
Yeah, she's Playboy gorgeous.
Really? Up close?
Yes, she is.
Because when she was in town a couple years ago, I had a listener, I don't know if he was lying or not, but he said that he kind of stalked her in the northwest section of Portland. And he said when he got up close, it was like a lot of bad road.
No, man. No, she looked good last night, and she's got some real nice eyes.
Well, they
get a chance to look into them. It's pretty intense.
Okay. Well, you know, they are doing miracles with dermabrasion now, and so maybe that's what she's...
Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe she had a whole do-over. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, you know, dumping a loser will do a lot for your looks.
That was a great bit last night.
Oh, where they shoved Kevin Federline into the ocean?
That guy looked pretty dead on, too. He looked good, you know?
Yeah. Was Jimmy Kimmel funny?
Yeah, he was.
He's a funny guy, and it is a little stunted on his own show now and again. I don't know. Sometimes he's like Leno, one of those guys that was really, really funny until he got the late-night gig, and he's not quite as funny now.
Maybe he wants to keep the gig.
Yeah, well, that's...
And you're afraid of ticking off, you know, late-night Americans who are usually, you know, the uptight ones who can't sleep.
Yeah, but I guess the key is just to get... Nothing succeeds in America like mediocrity.
True.
That really is true. Any standout performances last night? Why am I even asking? Of course not.
No, there was nothing that really, you know, rocked my world, if you will.
No.
It was pretty... A lot of the acts, Pussycat Dolls just stunk up the joint.
Aren't they just strippers?
Yeah, it started out as a burlesque show. It did, and they just they stink. They're terrible.
Yeah,
you know, at first because they were on early in the show and they were having some sound problems backstage. You know, everybody's going like, gotta get sound, can't get sound, can't get sound. the Pussycat Dolls started, I said, too much sound, get the sound off. Everybody started laughing. That was my big claim to fame last night.
Well, there you go. That's the key. Here's what a band ought to do. There ought to be some really great, like, rockin', like, metal band full of ugly dudes. But then you never see them. They stand backstage behind a curtain, and they just have, like, a bunch of hot strippers on stage.
Yeah,
and the band
you
never even see the band. They don't even show up.
Oh, remember how popular Christopher Cross was until he performed in public?
Seriously, MTV was the death of Christopher Cross.
Yep.
Let me tell you that. There's a whole lot of guys.
Only Meatloaf can pull that look off.
Man, and there's a lot of guys. Well, like that Rick Ocasek guy, I'm always amazed that he was able to retain any sort of stardom once we all saw. He looks like that Batman villain, the Scarecrow. You see Rick Ocasek? Rick Ocasek looks like you jammed a hose into his orifice and, like, vacuum sealed him from the inside out.
It looked like that bird on the glass that dips down.
The dipping bird with the hat?
Bird.
Totally. That's exactly what he is. Oh, good. Let me just tell you about the dipping bird with the hat. And this is an observation that you don't really hear, like, the Rush Limbaughs of the world make, and that's what sets this program apart.
All right.
That dipping bird makes me goddamn furious. I had three of those, and I could never get them to work.
Really?
When I was a kid, I could never get the dipping bird with the hat to work. Kristen, do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
All right. I could never get it to function properly, ever. Ever, ever. It used to make me very sad and angry. And the story's over.
That's sad, man.
Okay. And there we go.
When you have three dipping birds that don't dip... That's just bad.
That sounds like some Frank Sinatra slang right there. Baby, when your bird can't fly, you're, you're landlocked or something. Isn't that Sinatra used to greet all his male friends with that? Hey, how's your bird?
Yeah.
You know, so we should end this now.
Snoop Dogg was fun last night, though.
Was he there?
Yeah, he was fun.
You know, here's the thing about Snoop Dogg. I got lots of thoughts about that guy, one of which is, A, he seems like a big Muppet somehow.
Yeah.
Like, he just seems like a big cartoon
He's
character.
He's another
just...
dipping bird.
He's just sort of a goof, you know?
He's just got this big grin on his face.
He has such charisma. When I say a Muppet, I don't mean that in a bad way. I really don't. I mean, he's just kind of funny. And I don't mean funny like a clown. He's got sort of a very bemused, kind of amusing vibe around him. Like, he is, and for a guy who apparently shot somebody.
He's got the speak down really well, too.
Oh, yeah.
So he's just fun to listen to.
And you know what? He has what a Time magazine once referred to as Billy Graham having. They called it gazinkus, which is a certain sort of indefinable charisma.
Yeah.
And the thing about Snoop Dogg is, you think about this, he's a former drug dealer, a former gang member. He was on trial for murder one at one point, and yet... You know that if they gave that guy, like, a kid show on the Fox Family Channel, nobody bat an eye.
America loves him.
America loves him. America does.
The doghouse.
Yeah, totally. There you go. The dog in the doghouse with Snoop or whatever. And it would be him and a bunch of kids, and it'd be like a Pee-wee's Playhouse thing.
Yeah.
But with weed. And then, like, nobody would care. And America would be like, parents would be like, oh.
Guns now.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, he's Snoop. No problem. You'd let him babysit your kids with no worries if you're an American. America loves that guy.
He should be a politician.
I'd vote for him.
I totally would, too.
I'd vote for him. I'd vote for him in a heartbeat. So, there you go. All right, on that note, Jim Roop. By the way, I'll take you out with this. I played this for Lisa Goddard the other day. But I will now play this for you as well. I mean, let me find this here. I don't know if you've heard this or not. This is, let's see. Have you heard Larry King's musing on the internet?
No.
I won't play the whole thing because it's long. Roseanne Barr was on Larry King the other day. And she was talking about how she believes the internet is a big agent for political change, blah, 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 blah. Larry King, and keep in mind, Larry King works for the foremost news gathering organization in the world, which is your network, CNN. Larry King reveals that he has never in his life been on the internet. And then listen to how he describes, I'll play you about 8 seconds of this. This is how Larry King describes what he thinks the internet is like. This is what he's imagining it's like.
What do you punch in little buttons and things?
I can show you how to do it.
No, thanks.
There you go. Do you punch in little buttons and things? Well, one more time here.
What do you punch in little buttons and things?
I can show you how to do it.
No, thanks.
And at the end, he's just not interested. No, thank you. I'm going to pass. Do you punch in little... Yes, Larry. That's exactly what it is. You punch in little buttons and things.
Gee.
That's the internet. There you go, Jim Roop.
All right. New York, hello.
Hey, what's your question?
What's your question?
All right. Brother, are you on tomorrow?
I am on call tomorrow.
All right. Well, we're going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be making burger cake.
Oh, really?
It's what we do. Every year on Thanksgiving, except last year because we were unemployed and so we were just sitting at home drunk and weeping, we make Thanksgiving dinner for the first couple hours and then we serve it in the final hour. Tomorrow it's burger cake as well as a fungus-based turkey substitute called corn.
Yum, yum.
Just like Mommy used to make.
Yeah.
There you go. And I think...
Well, if I can remember, I will give you... If I'm not too drunk, I'll give you a call.
Hey, we're all going to be drunk, so what does it matter?
All right.
All right. There you go. Thank you, brother man.
All right.
Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Angeles. Thank you. Best newsman ever that's not Tim Riley. It's 503-733-2970. Running so behind. Let me get to... Let me get through a couple of these, then we'll break, then we'll come back with Tim Riley, then we'll do the top five, then Dennis Pitzenbarger will be here, then we'll read The Inquirer, then we'll have Tom Likas, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just go through these one by one, in no particular order. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Dave, your personal Mary Kay beauty consultant.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. Hello, what's up?
I wanted to inform you that in a former life, I was actually a chef.
Okay.
And I wanted to clarify a few things. Head cheese is actually cow brain, basically boiled and jellied and served.
Nothing that ends with boiled and jellied and served is good, period.
Oh, I agree.
All right. But it's more than just cow brains, right? It's just whatever's left over, I thought.
No. For the most part, head cheese is just brains.
All right.
You go to the store and you buy head cheese, like by the slice,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty much just cow brain.
Head cheese by the slice. That really is the only way to buy it. It's like pizza by the slice.
I am so right. glad I finished my bagel.
64 slices of American cow brain. All right. And
sweetbreads. Sweetbreads are animal organs. They are things like the pancreas or...
Things like the pancreas? What do you mean things like the pancreas?
Pancreas-like substance.
This is like a pancreas, but cheaper.
Well, the pancreas is a sweetbread. They're the smaller organs in an animal, such as a sheep or a cow.
When you say the smaller organs, do you mean the animal is smaller or it's the organ itself is smaller?
The organ itself is smaller. Like the heart would be a large organ. The liver would be a large organ.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the pancreas and...
Don't forget the eyeballs. Those are probably tasty.
Well, actually, there are places that serve eyeballs of animals.
And we're done. Okay.
Fried.
Great. God bless you, sir. Please. Thank you.
Tripe as well, actually, is cow stomach.
Is menudo the same thing as tripe?
No, menudo is a Mexican dish. It's also got spices and whatnot in it.
All right.
Tripe is pretty much just stomach boiled.
You know, the problem is, this is like haggis, too, which they keep trying to do.
Yeah.
You gotta try haggis. You know, not gonna happen.
Actually, I wanted to say Rose and Thistle actually serve the great haggis.
Oh, yeah, I know. The Geek Squad, that's kind of their official... what is that place in Shaun of the Dead? The Windsor? The Winston? Whatever that place is that they all hide in Shaun of the Dead. The Rose and Thistle is sort of that for the Geek Squad, Aaron and his posse. I've had almost everything on the menu there food-wise except for the haggis. When every time I go, you got to try the haggis, dude! Not going to happen. Here's the thing. I respect the fact that when one is of limited means or perhaps comes from a working class or lower class background, one must eat what one has to eat. I understand that. Here's the thing. Once you're above the poverty level, it's time to move on. Time to eat something that's clean that comes in a can.
I agree.
Thank you, Dave.
No problem.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Paul.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, I was wondering, man, whatever happened to Hal Griffin?
Maybe they boiled him and extracted his tongue and fried it with some eyeballs. I don't know. That's a good question, actually. Hog Whitman, who sounds and looks sort of like a younger version of Imus. Hog Whitman was a legendary caller on this program and on the Imus show and a creator of many fine parody and original songs that we played. And then he kind of vanished. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know where Hog Whitman is.
I got a CD. I was going through it. Turns out one of my college teachers listened to your show also.
Excellent.
So we totally... The rest of the class is clueless what we're talking about most of the time.
You bonded over Hog Whitman.
All for the fact that we both listen to your show.
Excellent. Good. What's your teacher's name?
Dan.
Dan. Hello, Dan. Dan. I don't know where Hog Whitman went to. That is a very good question. Maybe he'll call in. Maybe this will prompt Hog Whitman to call.
But I was telling him about the Hog Whitman CD, and I'm bringing it in to him tonight at school. So.
Excellent. Yeah, Hog Whitman really is. He really is one of a. What is that album he had? Like. Rubber sheets and
rubber underwear.
Rubber underwear and bullwhips. Hog's a very strange person. I had dinner with Hog one time. That was a surreal experience. All right. Well, we'll try to find out. In the meantime, thank you for listening, and spread the word, sir.
You got it, man.
All right, there you go. That's Paul. All right. Let's get one more, and then we'll break. Ian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Ian.
Yeah, well, I was listening a little while ago.
You're full of vim and vigor today.
You what?
You're full of vim and vigor.
Yes, I am.
All right.
I was listening to your comments about camping, and I feel I need to clarify something. There's such a thing as camp hacks, and these are the guys that cut down trees to try to burn them as firewood. They take a case of beer to the state park. They have absolutely no idea what they're doing. And then there's other people, and they, how should I say it? They have skills. They know how to smooth it as opposed to rough it. You know, it only takes a little bit of...
I hope you won't be offended if I...
And, you know...
Yeah, so, well, yes, using leaves for bathroom purposes. We'll call it that way. I guess what I'm... Okay, here's the thing. When you're saying rough it as opposed to smooth it, are you one of those guys that, like, I don't know, like you pack the battery-operated VCR and crap when you go?
Oh, no, no. The point of it is just to go get away from that kind of stuff. Get away from electricity. Get away from cell phones.
Why do you want to get away from electricity? What has it ever done to you except keep you warm and microwave your food?
I like
hot
showers. There's
warm to keep me warm. There's a good campfire to keep me warm. You know, I guess I'm one of those guys whose one foot is in the 21st century and the other foot is in the 18th.
And no disrespect, I mean, yeah, you can live however you want. I just don't understand that. That's my whole thing. Here's my thing. I don't understand the desire. How do I put this? Anything that you really enjoy a long time away from clearly is something that you just don't like all that much. You know what I'm saying? If something's good, why would you ever say, it's like, it's like those people, this is my thing, you can tell when somebody really secretly hates their children, because it'll be like, oh, my kids are gone for 2 weeks. It's the best 2 weeks of my life. They're at my mother's for 2 weeks. It's going to be so peaceful. No one ever says that about their car. No one ever says, like, oh, my hot water's out for 2 weeks. It's fantastic. My car broke down for 2 weeks. It's the best 2 weeks of my life. You're only glad to be away from things that you really don't like. And I really like having, like, carpet and lights and heating and air conditioning and cable.
Yeah, well, I suppose I would be...
People I can do without. But that's why I got a door that locks.
Well, that's a big part of it as well, you know?
Like, I can get with that. I can get with that, sir.
Yeah, you know, especially living in Oregon, where we have so much beautiful scenery. I mean, we have the coast, we have the mountains, we have the desert, and most of it is, you know, a couple hours drive away, if that.
No, I suppose. I mean, I'm not trying to, again, my wife is a huge, she's a huge outdoor person. I mean, she hikes, she kayaks, they do the Timberline Trail, which is like, God, it's like 55 miles of tramping through the goddamned wilderness every year. I mean, God, more power to her. God love her.
Yeah, well,
not for me.
With my family, it's the exact same, it's the exact opposite.
I mean, as my dad would just say, you want to go, let's go sit drunkenly in a boat and come home reeking of mackerel. You know, it's thanks, I'll pass. No.
My dad was
not a big fisherman, but, you know, what's wrong with sitting on the side of a beautiful river in the middle of nowhere, you're sipping on some whiskey, and you're just kind of sitting back in a nice little folding chair and just going, ah, you know, you hear just like cars, you don't have to breathe any smog, you know, you're.
What's that sound again?
Ah.
Fantastic. All right, well, thank you, Ian. God bless you. You call us anytime.
All right, thank
you. There you go.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Yeah, I think it might have been because it was like forced on me when I was a kid, and so therefore I'll just...
My dad took me camping all the time, and he's the type that even when it was so cold that the pipes would freeze, he'd still be out there.
No, of course, because... Oh. And I mean, there's some people who... It's like ice fishing. I got dragged to do ice fishing.
Really?
No, I don't wish to do that.
It's in the shack on top of a frozen lake.
People get that you think I'm a pussy, you think I'm whatever. I am a man of the great indoors. I really am. And the rest of my family, they love the outdoors. I'm just not that guy.
I'm happier with technology.
That's what I'm saying. Man, at home I got the oven, I got the microwave, I got the cable, I got TiVo, you know, I got porn and an armchair. I need nothing else.
I don't have to rub two sticks together to cook dinner.
Seriously. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, and we'll find out what did become of Hog Whitman. Plus Dennis Pitzenbarger, The Inquirer, The Week in Geek in the top five. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. Rick, did you see Rockstar Supernova on Jimmy Kimmel last night? No, no one did. No one anyway. Who was that on base? It didn't look like Jason Newsted to me. Really, how sad that you not only watched it, but were watching that close. It was, and how sad that I know who it was. It was Johnny Colt. That's a made-up name, by the way. Johnny Colt. Somewhere there's a country station missing an overnight DJ. Johnny Colt from the Black Crowes. Yeah, he's the guy who's replaced Jason Newsted. So there you go. And so forth. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do the top five here in a second. Believe it or not. In the meantime, in between time, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley. Oh.
Well,
and it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Oh, darn it all, the heck, let's get going here.
And, hello.
I'm hitting it.
I need no music.
Let me just...
Hello, everybody. Dateline, Boise, Idaho, a slow run.
Hello.
Hello.
There.
That's good enough.
Well, here we go. Dateline, Boise, Idaho. Thank you very much there, Chris. Boise, Idaho, a slow run or some fast food in Boise has cost two city workers their jobs. They were spotted on their Zamboni ice rink machines at a Burger King drive-thru. Their Zambonis are those clunky vehicles with rubber tires that had a top speed of 5 miles an hour. The drivers had to get through at least one traffic light to make the midnight run. Covering the mile and a half round trip, neither of the $75,000 Zambonis nor their $10,000 blades appeared to be damaged. A city official says the two temporary city workers didn't seem to understand the seriousness of what they did.
By the way, would you do me a huge favor? And if anyone out there, not that I would advocate such things, but if anyone in the Rick Emerson audience has been using marijuana in a recreational or medicinal sense today, I want you just to listen real closely. Tim, would you just say the word Zamboni three times?
Zamboni, Zamboni, Zamboni.
There you go. That's this installment of The Funniest Thing You've Heard While High, brought to you by The Rick Emerson Show. Here's Tim Riley.
All right.
I'm on it. All right.
The owner of the Laugh Factory says he has invited actor Michael Richards to come back to the club and apologize to the audience he offended. Richards went on a racially, well, we know. The club's owner, Jamie Masada, told Fox News he wants to make the situation right for everyone.
And this, he should sit down and talk to them personally and explain and apologize to all of them, because a lot of people, they were really hurt.
Hey, man, it doesn't sound like a white man. Yes. Who, what is that? What kind of accent is it?
Jamie Masada. He should sit down and talk to...
What's his name?
Jamie Masada.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how it is.
Richard wanted to apologize that night.
He went upstairs and I saw you almost, he had a sorrow and his tear in his eyes. He wanted to apologize to people.
He throwing the noose over the banister. He hanging there like a piñata.
A wrong accent. It's the only one I can do.
That's not an Italian.
It really was. I have nothing. All right. I thought you said Mitzi. That's why I was all confused. I thought you said Mitzi Shore owned the Laugh Factory.
I guess at one time she did.
Is she even still alive? She could be dead for all I know. Mitzi Shore.
It's hard to tell.
All right.
I don't know. Okay. Well, let's call the Butterball Turkey Butterball Turkey Hotline, shall we, as we do this time of the year? And speak with cook Nicole Johansson. She says she gets a variety of questions, especially about how to throw a turkey.
He wanted to know if he could inject his turkey with hot sauce. And he said, you know, that his whole family, everything is hot sauce. Everything is, you know, layered with hot sauce. So we talked some different options through with him. And basically we came to a conclusion that he was going to serve hot sauce on the side and then just dip his turkey meat.
Seriously.
Why?
Part of life's rich pageant. Okay.
Yeah, so it takes all kinds to call a Butterball Turkey Hotline.
We've heard everything from, you know, thawing their turkey in a jacuzzi or...
No, you haven't!
The possibilities really are endless.
The possibilities... Never mind. I can't even get angry about it anymore.
So confused.
These Butterball... You know what these are? These Butterball stories about the, you know, he wanted to know if he could thaw it inside the dishwasher on a spin cycle or whatever the hell...
I don't know.
Sitting there naked, holding it in the bucket.
Exactly. You know what this is like? These are like those Life in These United States anecdotes that would be in Reader's Digest. That's exactly what these stories are like.
Does anybody buy that anymore? I guess you can't get rid of it.
Reader's Digest is one of those things that you subscribe to, and then it just keeps coming and coming and coming forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And they sell it at Safeway, too. And the print has gotten really... Were you saying that it was you that had never seen a large print version of Reader's Digest?
It was not me, no.
I don't think I've seen a normal print version of Reader's Digest.
Oh, my parents... I read Reader's Digest growing up a lot. My parents subscribed to Reader's Digest. But you're right, it's one of those magazines, now that I think about it, when... Reader's Digest is one of those magazines that just shows up at a lot of houses, especially if you're bland and Catholic for some reason. But yet, I don't remember ever subscribing to it. It just sort of arrives. You're really right about that.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about. It's like Grit Magazine. One of those things that just sort of shows up. All right.
Well, anyway.
There you go.
Here's one of those interesting only in Portland stories. Grab the salt, pepper, and soy sauce and get ready to boil water because... The Top Ramen Up is fast approaching. Yes, they're going to have a Top Ramen Up cook-off at the Matador, which is on West Burnside this coming Sunday. It costs $1 to get into it. You're supplied with a package of Oriental flavor ramen, salt, pepper, and soy sauce. You can spend no more than $5 on ingredients. And I guess I have a set of official rules here if you want to participate.
This is perfect with Matador, because that place is just a hole, and I mean that in the best way.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 salt, pepper, blah, blah, blah.
So it only costs $1 to get into this thing.
Contestants must use in their recipe the flavor packet provided in their Oriental or Asian top ramen package. They will be provided with a stovetop, and you know they're all going to be drunk too, so this is going to end in a maiming somehow.
Yeah.
They'll be provided with a saucepan for boiling noodles with a wooden spoon. All right. I'm done with this. All right, so there you go. Oh, and the Portland Top Ramen Off has its own MySpace page.
Why wouldn't
Fantastic.
It?
Fantastic. You know,
how many people are their friends?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. The Top Ramen, I would always, I know that it's sort of a cliche food that you're supposed to eat when you're really broke. I would splurge and buy the cup of soup. Because you could buy like 10 of those cup of soups for like $3.
See, the vegetables in those scare me to death.
And the cup of soup?
Yes.
It's fine. Oh. As opposed to Top Ramen, man, Top Ramen is just nothing but salt and starch, man. I mean, you can just feel your heart screaming for mercy.
Why
do
you add barbecue
stuff.
Sauce?
See, this is the other thing I would do. I would buy, like, the huge industrial-sized Costco. The thing about when you're a DJ and you're young and broke is you find somebody that has a Costco card. And then I would buy the huge, like, a 40-gallon thing of Prego sauce. And then I would just buy, like a pallet of Top Ramen. And then I would make really, like, bad ghetto spaghetti. That's what I made.
That's
so
beautiful. Right.
Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, Madonna's Confession Store is on tonight, live from London, even though it's taped and edited.
Is that the one where she's on the cross?
She's not going to be on the cross.
Is this on NBC?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, they're
8 o'clock. During the family hour.
You know what I watched this weekend? I watched the worst movie. I watched Swept Away.
That is bad.
Swept Away is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Every other video has been rented.
Swept Away is so bad. It's awful. Have you seen Swept Away?
I haven't.
Oh, man. It's terrible. And I know... And the thing is...
Of all the starving artists out there wanting to make movies...
Seriously. And they gave like $30 million to make this awful Madonna film. It's awful. And it was directed by Guy Ritchie.
Yep.
Wasn't it?
Yep.
Guy Ritchie. He made Lock, Stock, and... He made Snatch. He made Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. And then he made Swept Away. And they try to position it as like a kooky romantic comedy, and it's just cringe-inducing. And you're watching it, and it's a story of it's where Madonna is like she's a rich, spoiled, pampered woman on a cruise ship, and then like 5 minutes into it, she meets cute with the like the bare-chested, swashbuckling Italian guy who's got like the long hair and the smoldering eyes, and
it's the most obnoxious character ever portrayed and on celluloid.
You want them both to be eaten by a sperm whale.
When will pop stars learn that they can't be in movies?
It's not really pop stars. It's just Madonna, I think.
Well, Britney Spears had that movie that was horrible, though, too.
I suppose. But, I mean, I guess. Nobody really expected anything from Britney Spears, though. Madonna, it's like... The thing about Madonna is if she had just stopped with Desperately Seeking Susan, we all would have been like, and she can act. Is there anything this woman can't do?
And we found out that really what she can't do is act. It's just that she only lucked into that. I mean, even a stopped clock can act in that movie. You know what I mean? It's on VH1 all month, though. So if you get a chance to watch Swept Away, I encourage you to do so.
Oh, on VH1 Classic last night was the story of Top of the Pops. It was fascinating.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a documentary?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
It was great. For people my age.
You know, Top of the Pops has been canceled.
Yeah.
They don't show it anymore, which is sad.
Also on the TV tonight for your holiday viewing pleasure, Harry Potter and the Giblets of Fire, and Charlie Chan and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie Chan and the Chocolate Factory. If I had more caffeine, I could make a joke there.
I know, and I left it early in the program for you to think about it.
Charlie Chan and the Chocolate Factory. Charlie Chan and the Chocolate Factory. No, I got nothing. It'll come to me later.
Well, what's being described as Dick Clark plans to rock in another new year.
Is that in quotes?
Yes.
Dick Clark?
As he did last year, Dick Clark.
And when they say, it's not really rock in the new year so much as it is like in the new year, so much as it is tremble in the new year. Just sort of a spasmodically jerk in the new year.
Well, they give him something to hang on to
new
anyway.
New Year's twitching Eve.
he'll be on his perch as the watcher for the annual New Year's rocking Eve. And the former American Bandstand host, who's now 76, will join Ryan Seacrest and musical guest Christina Aguilera to ring in 2007 before a shocked national audience.
Before a shocked, horrified, yet inexplicably unable to tune away national audience. Good God. And are they going to have him in that... What show was it that they wheeled him out in that, like... Commander Pike thing from Star Trek where he was like built into it.
Oh yeah.
It's like that he was rolled out in that thing on wheels. You know what I'm talking about? It was like they had put him inside a drafting table where it was like on wheels and they just kind of rolled him out on stage and he looked, it was like on Futurama. It was as though they just rolled out the head of Dick Clark on a huge pedestal.
Did they actually expect him to talk?
The worst thing is I saw, what was that interview? The thing is, when you're interviewing Dick Clark in his rather precarious state now, ask the man closed-ended questions. Are you happy to be alive?
He can grunt at.
Something he can paw the ground once for yes and twice for... But instead, they were asking these horrible, like, so, tell me, how do you feel? Scaring small children and animals everywhere, man. He really did like a terrible Madame Tussauds figure that had been given a good melting. All right. Well, there you go.
Then you have Ryan Seaweed, or is it Seacrest, the 31-year-old host of American Idol, handling the co-hosting duties as he did last year. He will not be noticed.
And by the insert, the obligatory Dick Clark stroke of midnight joke, just right there. All right. And the Charlie Chan. Charlie Chan and the Chocolate Factory. There's something there.
I left it wide open for you.
No, that's not it either. No, I got nothing.
All right. Hit you as soon as the show's over.
Seriously, I have nothing. All right, it's Tim Riley.
A 15-year-old boy was arrested when deputies... Oh, this is from Florida, by the way. Florida.
Fantastic. From where?
Florida. This is from Fern, Florida. A 15-year-old boy was arrested when deputies stopped him driving a stolen bus along a public transit route, picking up passengers and collecting fees.
Fantastic.
Richie Calvin Davis took the bus from the Central Florida Fairgrounds in Orlando, where it was parked awaiting sale at an auction. The bus belonged to the Central Florida Transit Agency that runs a Lynx public transit in the Orlando area. I drove that bus better than most Lynx drivers could, said the teen.
Excellent.
There's a scratch on it. I know how to start it, drive it, lower it, raise it. Passengers and deputies noted Davis drove the bus at normal speeds and made the appropriate stops on the route.
Kid's got a lot of moxie.
One passenger suspicious of the youthful looks of the driver called 911. There were two passengers on the bus when deputies spotted it in Fern Park, a suburb about 12 miles north of the fairgrounds where it was stolen. Authorities believe Davis picked up a total of three passengers and collected only a few dollars in his morning drive. The report notes that Davis, who was too young to legally drive, has a dummy license number because he had previously been charged with a similar bus theft.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's take these calls, and then we'll do the top five here. Let me just move through these very quickly, one at a time, and then we'll do this. Let's see. By the way, we've got a weigh-in here about Swept Away. Rick, as you know, this is from Todd the Corpse. He says, I'm a huge Madonna fan. However, you couldn't be more correct about how truly, truly awful Swept Away is. And that's even taking into account the rest of Madonna's filmography. The worst part is I even watched the commentary by Guy Ritchie, and never once did he mention how awful the movie turned out. In fact, Guy Ritchie blamed critics for ruining the movie before it even came out. It's just painful. Also, is Kristen the same person as the Sarah who runs the gymnasium? She sounds identical. Well, you're mixing like three different things together. There is a Sarah, not Sarah. This is all very difficult.
Oh, I met her the other day. She stopped me on the street.
Sarah from the gymnasium?
Yeah, I had no idea who she was. She wanted to say hello.
She doesn't have a last name.
No, she doesn't.
They've had this ongoing farce of not been trying to find a last name for her, like a radio name, and it hadn't worked out, but it's like now the
Sarah Smile.
And Tim's not helping the situation on that show.
What was the one he wanted to say? Sarah Glitter?
There's one with a machine gun phrase embedded into it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's like now... It probably would have been easy, but now there's so much pressure on her to come up with a radio name that she's never going to be able to do it. So Sarah, not Sarah Dillon, but Sarah is on the gymnasium. Kristen Bowie, who is in today for Sarah Dillon, who is not on the gymnasium. Kristen Bowie, you also do the phone screening for the gymnasium.
Yes.
So there you go.
That's where the confusion lies, I think.
It's all very, the more you know, and knowing is half the battle. Let me get these calls, then we'll do the top five. This call says, don't eat the corn. Okay. Steve, hello.
Do not eat the corn.
Okay, duly noted. Thank you.
It's made out of protein that's from mold.
I think corn is just made out of corn these days.
Nope. Well, unless they changed it from last year, because I'm telling you, I had it last year. I love fake meat. I love it to death.
Oh, you're talking about corn.
Corn with a Q.
Yeah.
And,
I'm just going to bleep that. So it's like projectile vomiting, but from somewhere else in your body.
Yeah. See, don't blame me. Blame the corn.
Well, it's better than having a colon pile up. That will result in a cleansing later in your life.
It really is true.
So given the choice, well, I will take it now.
No, it really, I was going to say, it really, and we've never had any of those effects. People warned us about that. They said it was like
remember
some sort
John
of,
Wayne.
Oh, you've had it already? Okay, well.
Well, you don't want to be like Elvis and they open you up and there's 30 pounds of red meat in your colon when you die.
Well, that's true. I'm not saying eat meat. There's plenty of other fake turkey out there that's great, but... If there's anybody there that knows they have an allergy to mold, they should not eat that stuff.
All right. It really is just made out of mushroom, though, basically.
Well, that's what they like to tell you.
That's what they'd like you to believe.
Google it and find out what it is. It's processed mold protein is what it is.
All right, thank you.
It's about time somebody did it.
All right, there you go. That's Steve. No, they warned us. They said it was like some fungal olestra, and that we were going to have, there was going to be unpleasant leakage, and,
I have chicken corn at home.
No, corn is fantastic. I don't let that guy scare you. I have no vested interest in whether you buy it or not. I'm just saying it's a fine product.
Yeah.
Let's see. We'll get these, and then we'll do the top five with Tim Riley.
Corn is people.
Okay. Hello, sir. Dante.
Oh, hi. How are you doing
hi.
Today?
What's up with you?
Hey, guys. Eat whatever you want, but I wanted to weigh in on the hog.
Thank you for your permission.
I wanted to weigh in and let you know that Hog Whitman is, in fact, alive and well and still producing wonderful music.
Excellent.
I don't know if his website has changed. He used to have sodomizedbillgates.com, but now I believe it's hogwhitman.com. And you can go on there and you can find his latest hit, which is called I Am Not Gay. Just a fantastic, fantastic dude.
He really is one of a kind, isn't he?
This
is a dry wit.
One of a kind, and I don't think I would want another one of
his. No, it's true. And the weird thing is, again, you meet Hog Whitman, is how much he looks and sounds like Imus. It really is unnerving.
You expect him to have a bald sidekick, like some, you know, some bald Nazi sidekick, but he doesn't. But he does hang out with Clyde a lot.
I was just thinking that. Why don't you hang out with bald Nazis, Hog Whitman?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it strikes me that would be, and then some churchy guy to just fill in the blanks whenever Hog loses his train of thought. But no, he's in the studio. He's putting together a new album.
What?
Hello?
No, we're losing your phone. Damn it!
Darn
the luck. All right, and Paul, hold on a second. Just before we do anything else, just hold on a second here. Let me just
Scotty J.
One second before
Cassidy
Tim does the top five.
Say,
hold on, Paul.
You're not going to amount to jack squat.
Thank you,
Scotty J.
How's it going?
Why is someone calling? I'm looking at line three here. Sean is calling about Mississippi abortion legislation and immigration problems.
Because he asked if you talked about that, and I said, you know what? I don't think so. I don't think
he was undaunted, though, wasn't he?
He's been on hold for 55 minutes.
Oh,
right.
My.
Well, it's a big issue, you know.
In Mississippi. In Mississippi.
How they blend the two.
Does he know that we're here in Oregon?
I'm not sure.
All right, hold on. Well, let's find out. Sean.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Well, I suppose we'll find out. What's up?
Okay, I just got off work, and, like, I was flipping through stations while you were on commercial.
Yes.
And I got over to...
Thanks for that. I appreciate that. Thank you for tuning out as soon as the sponsors who keep the show on the air come on.
Well, just bear with me, and then so I'll make it quick.
Okay.
Basically, some focus on a family
uh-huh.
is talking about how illegal immigration is actually the fault of abortion because there's now 80,000 children that aren't alive that could be workers. And that's why everybody's coming across the border into America. So I thought that was like a kind of a wacky thing. So.
Well, you are right about that. Yes. There's really nothing to pick up the momentum of a talk show that calling in and finding something that encompasses both illegal aliens and abortion all in like 5 seconds. That really provides momentum to a program like nothing else. Now, James Dobson from... Here's the thing I will say about this. And I got to bring this in. You did remind me of this, Sean. So thanks for not... I thought you were going to be like a crazed nutcase for a second. You do remind me, though, that James Dobson is the guy who wrote that Preparing for Adolescence book that my parents gave me when I was 13 because the guy at the Bible bookstore told them it was a guide on how to deal with the tingly sensations in your body. I'll bring that in next week and read from it, especially the part where they describe the special way that married men and women hug each other and how that's something that many married couples do a couple times a month. So I'll bring that. See, making lemonade out of this call. I'll bring that in next week, sir.
Okay. I just thought that you'd find that kind of wacky. So it's just such a bizarre concept that I think you might be interested.
It is wacky, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, and have a fantastic Thanksgiving, Sean.
You too.
All right, thank you.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
All right.
You see,
go.
Rick Emerson's show covers the news of the nation.
Thank you. Thank you, Scotty. All right. Well, we'll get Paul here in a while. Ladies and gentlemen, are you prepared with the top five, Christian?
Yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, please clear the decks as Tim Riley presents this, your top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire. Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley with your pre-Thanksgiving top five.
And as Sarah X. Dillon flies off into the great Wisconsin unknown, let's take a moment to reflect on our on-air travel and its many glories and disasters. Nowhere is this more clearly felt than in the world of music, as the airplane continues to be the number one enemy. So let's take a look at these, the top five musicians killed in a horrible plane crash. An honorable mention going to John Denver.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, Shannon.
Really, this is only
4 minutes and 45 seconds.
Drop that just a little bit, Kristen. Thank you.
Life is old.
Really? Is that true?
No, I've played this so many times.
As a tree,
is it a fade or cold?
It's a fade.
Like a breeze, country road.
Yeah. This is honorable mention, by the way, because he did. Because it really was no one's fault but his. Put gas in the plane next time. You know, here's the thing about John Denver. People can make. What format were you working when you played John Denver?
Believe it or not, it was considered progressive country.
Really?
Really?
In the late 70s.
I can see that, actually.
And Gordon Lightfoot was played.
Really?
During the, it was a period of time when there's nothing new coming out in American country music. You know, the typical strumming country music
right.
stuff. So they were starting to pull in this kind of crossover stuff.
Anything they found laying around?
Anyone just strumming one guitar.
anyone with scraggly facial hair. You want to be a country star?
Yeah.
This is, you know, and here's the thing about John Denver. John Denver is one of those guys that went, he sort of had the, I'm trying to think of somebody else who has a similar career arc. Neil Diamond is probably like this. Unknown, known, popular, huge, laughed at, smirked, disregarded, now iconic. And Joni DeRoshina kind of boiled this down, that everything that is a pop culture icon goes through four phases. And I forget exactly what they were, but it was popular, disliked, kitschy, and then iconic. And the Bee Gees did that same thing. Popular, and then everybody hated them for a while, and then they were liked, but only by the kooky, ironic hipster kids, and now everybody admits that the Bee Gees are great. Same thing with John Denver. If you don't like John Denver, you are not an American. This is a great song. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, Scotty, I was going to end every one of these songs. I was going to end every one of these songs with just a huge, horrible plane crash, but I just thought it was too much. I thought it was going to be
It's Thanksgiving.
I know. It's a time of...
It's something for children.
It's a time of Christian togetherness, so I decided not to do that. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Number 5, Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline, where I wrote this down because she actually died.
I've got your picture.
The hell did she actually die? This was
that you gave to me.
Wait.
And it's time.
Fellow singers Cowboy Copas and Hawkshaw Hawkins. That was a simpler time. Killed in a plane crash near Camden, Tennessee.
An American story in so many ways, too.
Well, man, it's true. You know, the thing about Patsy Cline is she died in, 62,
yeah.
63, which is around the same time the Beatles were coming to America. But, man, you hear this, and, I mean, it sounds like it's from 1930.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this music sounds so much older. It's amazing when you think that she was actually both old enough and yet young enough to have had a song written by and to have had an affair with Willie Nelson. Because I remember when I discovered that she died in the 60s, it seemed like a misprint because I think this music probably sounded really old when it was released. I mean, it had an instantly old feel to it. You know what I mean? Well, this is a great song.
I love Patsy Cline.
Yep. It really is. And I hate... Look, I'll just say what everybody knows to be true. Really, dying was just the best thing for her because her music sounded so ghostly and haunted to begin with. That's a great line, by the way. And then as soon as she died, man, bam, immortalized.
It won't let me be.
She was cute, too.
I've got your class ring. That proved you care.
There's just nobody. How sad that we're probably the only radio station in Oregon playing this today.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nobody. There's nowhere left. And this is not a knock on, on our sister station. Right? There's nobody. There's nobody left who plays this kind of music.
There's an oldie show on Sunday morning.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
the Outlaws and Legends.
Yeah.
Smokey does that. That's true. Well spotted. Look at you cross-promoting. You are a team player. Here's Tim Riley.
That'll get you a fill-in spot.
Number 4 is Otis Redding.
Boy, listen to that.
Bam.
We're doing the top 5 musicians killed in a horrible plane crash. He was actually killed where Sarah's landing today, Madison, Wisconsin. Bam! I think he was another one where the plane crashed because they ran out of fuel. How hard is it just to look at the gauge? E's on one side, F's on the other. Stop somewhere. Ah, Otis, listen to that. That's just fantastic. There's something about this drum sound, too. I don't know who this drummer is. It's like the guy that drums on those I don't think it's the same, but the guy that drums on the Temptations records, too. Just that kind of trap drum sound. I think the guy, and I don't know, I'm not a learned man. I think the guy who drums on these Stax Volk, this Otis Redding stuff, I think it's the guy who drums on the Sam and Dave hits, too.
Was he just, part of the house band of the record company, maybe?
I think so, and I'm not... The drum sound on this is very similar to the drum sound on, Hold On, I'm Coming, and Soul Man, and... That great kind of snapping drum sound.
I know that's how we got a lot of our regional sounds back in those days, because...
Same group of guys.
Yeah.
Boy, it's fantastic. Doing the top 5 musicians killed in a horrible plane crash, here's Tim Riley.
Number 3, not the one you're thinking about, Randy Rhoads.
And so I just have to say that I am every Eastern cliche rolled into one host. I am both shrill and grating, and I engage in the same sort of conspiratorial, paranoid nonsense that I constantly ridicule right-wingers for. And I was obsessed with voting for... quit talking about it because it didn't affect the outcome of my political party anymore. It's hard to believe that people tune out from my program now in record numbers. What with my winning personality. Hello? Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. You meant this Randy Rhoads.
Yes.
Do a little industry comedy there.
Why?
listen to that. Listen how great that is. Let's hear that beginning one more time. Randy Rhoads, legendary guitarist for Ozzy. Let's just hear that. That's the best thing you've ever heard. So great. That's so good. Randy Rhoads, and if I'm not incorrect about this, I think he died. Here's the thing about this is they all died from some goddamn stupid mistakes. I'm pretty sure that Ozzy was traveling in a bus. Randy Rhoads was in a small plane, and they were doing loops in the air and simultaneously trying to buzz Ozzy's tour bus. So they would do these big looping barrel rolls and then try to come within like a foot of the bus. Hard to believe that worked out badly. Little side note here, that opening riff, that is actually taken from an old Quiet Riot song that Randy Rhoads wrote when he was with Quiet Riot, which is in like 78, something like that. It's on a CD called Quiet Riot to Randy Rhoads here, which is great. God, great song. You can hear teenagers picking up handguns if you listen real closely. Here's Tim Riley.
And at number two, Leonard and the Skinnards.
Oh, yeah, that's my fault there. This is off, this is off Street Survivors, right? I think it is. This is that album that came out with the, it came out like the week they died, and the fronts are standing in the street covered in fire, covered in flames. Boy, this is a great song, too. Whiskey bottle. God, I love Leonard Skinner.
And especially for the 70s, it seems like it doesn't belong there.
Totally. There's too much coke and too much smoke. This is such a great song. Look what's going on inside you. Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that smell? Leonard Skinner is another one of those bands that slowly but surely is kind of getting the respect they deserve. There's a band called the Drive-By Truckers that did a whole double album a couple years ago called Southern Rock Opera, which is sort of about the rise and fall of Leonard Skinner and so forth. And that's, you know, one of those bands that just got written off for a long time by people who just reduced them to, you know, to a series of punchlines. And, you know, a whole generation of horn-rimmed glass-wearing, you know, dicks would just sit and go to Freebird, you know, and just, you know, it's just, and you listen to this, you listen to Leonard Skinner, just you listen musically and lyrically. So much depth going on to this music. Is this the little hell yeah part? Oh, so great. That's fantastic. Listen how great that is. I'd say right here, one of America's top 10 definitive rock and roll bands. Right here. If you had to send some sort of probe into outer space defining American rock and roll, these guys are right there. They're probably like number 3 or 4 on the list. Doing the top 5 musical acts killed in horrible plane crashes, Tim Riley.
And at number 1,
we're grateful for our beautiful land.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't make any
Buddy
jokes.
Holly, Richie Valens, and kind of the undeserving of the fame, Big Bopper.
Seriously.
Boy, you just happen to be there.
Talk about a guy whose whole career was made by the fact that he won the coin toss. This is actually them live on the Ed Sullivan Show. All of my life, I've been away. See, right there, just enough growl, just enough rasp. It's easy to make fun of Buddy Holly because he looked like such a dork, and his songs were skiffle-like. But you could hear every now and again just enough snarl in that voice that I wish I could know what that guy was going to do in 10 years.
He created a whole new sound by sticking a pencil through a speaker.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Just a kind of a rattle, fuzz?
And I happened to be fortunate enough to see the Buddy Holly story on stage in London.
Really?
Yep, a few years back. It was a great show. I don't think it ever made it here.
See that right there? I mean, it sounds so tame now, but I mean, at the time. And it's weird to think that this guy lived, died, and never knew of the Beatles, never heard the Beatles. And clearly, he was such a massive influence on them.
And he wore glasses.
Yeah? I mean, you talk about a guy that, from the beginning, had an iconic imagery about him.
Hipsters everywhere thank him for that.
Totally, exactly. No, he's right. I mean, he's the original dork rocker. He is the original. He is the Rivers Cuomo of his day. He's the original geek rocker. I've been away. It's a great song. Another song he does, that Rave On song, is great too. All right, there you go. Top five. Now I'm depressed. Top five musicians killed in a horrible plane crash. All right, we're running way late here, so we're like Don and Mike late here. Well, let's take a break.
That's all right. What are you going to do?
See, there you go. That's the spirit that keeps,
for the optimism,
keeps CBS Radio at the forefront. What can you do?
You want live people? You're going to put up with live people, too.
Seriously. Someday when this show is voice-tracked by a guy in Houston, it'll be on time. Take a break here. We'll come back. Dennis Pitzenbauger will do a little automotive trivia for morons. This show is the best. Really, this show has better music than you've ever heard anywhere in your life. Admit it now. Back after this with Dennis Pitzenbauger, some crap from the Inquirer, and the Week in Geek. You stay right there. Listen, and I hit the post. Let's hear it for me.